141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a big night of Premiership action. Dundee against Rangers is on at the third time of asking, we think, with the visitors looking to bounce back from Sunday's defeat. Former Ibrox midfielder Stephen Davis says it's too early to write off his former side in the title race. And elsewhere, Aaron Hickey's doing everything he can to be fit for the Euros, according to one former Scotland defender inside the Brentford camp. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Marvin Bartley and Jim Duffy. Surely, finally, after weeks and weeks of discussion, we've got a game on, and it happens to be an extremely important one as well.
Yeah, game on, definitely. You know, they cleared the pitch yesterday, but as you said, it is a massive, massive one. I know Stephen Davis has said it's too early to write Rangers off. If Rangers fail to win today, I think, you know, their league title is over. I think it goes to Celtic. I think we're all expecting today's game to be for Rangers to win and go top of the league. Obviously, Ross County had a different plan in that, but they have to bounce back today, and good teams do that.
Yeah, I mean, the pitch, we've seen pictures of it, Gordon. It does look actually in very, surprisingly very good condition. So there'll be no excuses tonight as far as Rangers are concerned. Dundee obviously achieved top six status, which is a fantastic achievement from them. So it's a kind of one where you're kind of a wee bit wondering, are Dundee absolutely relaxed and going to the game relaxed and can play almost off the cuff with no pressure? Or have they achieved the target they set out to be, or better than the target, and maybe kind of switched off a little bit? But ultimately, it's about Rangers' performance. They need a massive improvement from the weekend's performance against Ross County.
Could have Europe in their sights as well, of course, Dundee. But come on then, 01419511025. For weeks and weeks, we've spoken about pitches and drainage and travel and logistics and ticketing and all the rest of it. It looks like we've got a game on. So let's talk about the football implications tonight, and particularly you Rangers fans. What would you do to the team? Because by the sounds of your reaction to Sunday's defeat, you would have changed a lot of them. Now, obviously that won't happen. So based on the weekend, who needs dropped? Who needs to come into the team? What would your starting 11 look like tonight? How do you fix this? How do you improve things from the weekend? Any other thoughts around the game about how important it is and what it means in the context of the title race? We now know the post-split fixtures as well, of course. So you want to react to those, you can do. And anything else that's on your mind, this is always the place to share it, as you know. Down the line later on in the show, we're going to hear from a former Scotland defender who works at Brentford and assures everybody, hopefully, fingers crossed, that Aaron Hickey is going to be fine for the Euros, because they seem to be dropping like flies, particularly in that right back area. So maybe you've got a left field shout of someone who could come into that position and help Steve Clarke out if needed. But obviously, the one place to start, Dens Park, 01419511025. How do you feel about the game being on tonight, the pitch, all the rest of it? And what about that team, Rangers fans? You were all furious with the performance. Not just the result, it was the performance on Sunday. So what does the team need to look like tonight? What changes would you make? Give us a call right now on 01419511025. Let's go to Dens Park. Let's get an eyewitness account from Andrew McLean. Andrew, before we get to team news and all that stuff, there is one obvious burning question. How is that pitch looking?
What was all the fuss about? Look, the sun is shining here in Dundee. I tell you what, the climate has changed as well. I think we're getting some of that Tannadice weather on this side of the street. You know, it does look a lot better than it did in recent weeks. Obviously, it's still far from perfect. The goal mouths, the penalty areas, the penalty spots, I should say, still pretty bare. There was that problem area as well, wasn't there, in the middle of the pitch. That does look a bit better as well. It's dry too, which is a big thing, because we saw from the previous pitch inspections that the ball wasn't rolling properly, it wasn't bouncing properly either, but it looks a lot better in that regard today. So the game will be on, and I think everyone will breathe a sigh of relief that it is finally on and we can bring this saga to an end and that we can focus on the football. It means that it is the third time of asking, but it will be happening. It is a big game as well for Rangers, especially after Sunday. Philip Clement said he hadn't seen anything like it in his 6 months at the club during that Ross County defeat, but he's confident they'll be able to react tonight, and they really need to, don't they? Because drop points again is unthinkable at this stage in the title race. They really can't let Celtic go into the post-split fixtures with a 4 or a 3 point lead if they want to be in with a shout of winning this title. The players have a lot of questions to answer after that performance. Philip Clement as well has a lot of big decisions to make when it comes to team news. A lot of fans not happy with what they saw from the back line in that game in Dingwall at the weekend, especially I think central defence, but Leon Balogun, he's been ill during the week, so will Conor Goldson and John Souter retain their places? You'd expect probably Borna Barisic comes out the team, so who replaces him? Possibly the same for Kieran Dowell as well. Can't imagine he'll start again after Sunday. So what does that midfield look like? And the Cyril Dessers continue up top after those missed chances on Sunday. Philip Clement also talking about Dundee. He thinks they'll have a different mentality than they would have if the game went ahead last week. He reckons they've got a bit of a free ride, is what he called it now, after they've sealed that top six place. But surely they'll have an eye on Europe and what they can potentially do now that they are definitely a top six side. Also looking for their first win over Rangers since 2017 it is. So a slightly later kickoff time of 8 o'clock, so I'll bring you the team news when I get it.
All that means is you've got longer than you usually would on a midweek game to suggest your team before we get the announcement. It usually comes on us quite quickly. So Rangers fans, how do you feel heading into this game? You go back a couple of months, I'm pretty sure you all head up there with the utmost confidence that this is a straightforward evening. Has Sunday damaged that? Are you a bit nervous, anxious about what tonight will bring? Or maybe you expect fully the team to bounce back, no worries at all. And the important debate for us, what's that team going to look like? Who would you drop? Who would you change? There was so much criticism right across the board to Sunday. So what would you do tonight to fix things? 01419511025. Games are always big at this part of the season. But all of a sudden, this has become massive, Jim. As Marvin says, maybe Rangers' title hopes do hinge on it tonight.
Yeah, probably. You know, they need to get back to winning ways. I think the thing that would concern Rangers is that the last two games, up until the last two games, defensively looked very good. The last two games have lost 6 goals. And not only lost 6 goals, there's another host of chances being created, and Jack Butland's been called upon several times, and there's been chances missed. So they've been very, very open, you know, and really, you know, completely opposite for the vast majority of time that Philip Clement's been there. So no matter how good a football team you are, you have to be solid at the back. You have to get back to that organisation, that structure, and build from there. Rangers do have firepower. They do have good creative players in the front area. They can score goals. Again, we mentioned losing 6, scoring 5. But, you know, you can't go that open and leave yourself so exposed time after time. So to me, get the back door locked again, get that structure in place, and they have the quality in the forward areas to create chances. I do think there'll be some changes again. I know he does like to rotate his squad. I could maybe see Silva playing through the middle and having maybe Sima and Matondo if they're both available on the wide areas. I do think there'll be another change in midfield. And as you mentioned, if Balogun had been, you know, hadn't been unwell, I think he could have been a surprise getting in there, and maybe just trying to give him more of that kind of defensive, you know, solidity. And I think that they need that. But Dundee, as Tony Docherty said, a free hit, can go out there totally relaxed, and you know, they maybe sense a wee bit of nervousness about Rangers.
Come on then, 01419511025. Rangers fans, how do you feel? Optimistic, nervous, dreading it, somewhere in between? You tell us. And how would you fix the team? Would you make wholesale changes? Is it time for something drastic? Or has it all been a bit over the top and you want to stay mostly along the same lines? Do let us know on 01419511025. John is going to kick things off tonight. How are you, John?
I'm all right. Not bad at all.
What are you thinking?
What am I thinking? My first point is, hey, if Sky can get £100,000 off SPFL, how can we not get any money back off of Rangers or Dundee for travelling up there that many times? Why do people never support the supporters? And by the way, Dundee should employ a groundsman instead of a part-time groundsman. You know what I mean? But nobody cares about us. We spend a fortune week in and week out. So if Sky can get 100 grand off SPFL, how can they not compensate the fans for the buses and the time that they spend? So somebody tell me, who's ever going to stick up for us? Do you stick up for us? No, I mean, do you come on and moan to SPFL are useless? Neil Doncaster's useless, anyway. But do you know what I mean? Who supports us? The people who actually pay.
Yeah, I think it's a fair point. Yeah. That story that John's alluding to, in case anyone hasn't seen it, I think it first appeared in The Sun this morning, could be elsewhere, that Sky were ready to bill the SPFL of up to 100,000, it said, because obviously they've put the broadcast in place a couple of times and it hasn't gone ahead. Again, whether that actually happens or how that transpires, I don't quite know yet. But I think John makes fair points. Mm-hmm. The people that always get lost in these things are the fans. Now, there will be an element of it, like games get called off and you can't always compensate fans. But at the same time, I think John's bang on. We do need to stick up for fans a bit more.
Yeah, absolutely. I think John's right in the sense of that, you know, fans are always way down the pecking order when it comes to these type of situations. I mean, we heard Philip Clement mention that, you know, they had to go and they book I think they take two coaches up there, stay in the hotel overnight, games cancelled. So there's a huge cost to Rangers as a football club itself. And then, you know, you take the fans, and not every fan stays within a short journey. So they could be travelling, they could be making plans, they could be taking time off work if it's a midweek game, all these sort of things. The difficulty is it's hard maybe to compensate certain aspects of it, but I do believe that they have to put better criteria in to protect fans in future. So if there is a succession of games, which has happened to Dundee, for instance, and there is a fine, the fine perhaps goes to the, say for talking to Rangers, then it would be up to Rangers then to look at maybe their, you know, their members and how they could distribute some of that back into the fans. I don't see how the SPFL could do it or Sky could do that to Rangers fans. It would have to be Rangers themselves, because they would obviously have, you know, whether it's, you know, within supporters clubs or support bodies, that would be the only way. So it'd be a wee bit difficult logistically, but in principle, I'm 100% agreement with John.
Yeah, I think that's fair, Marvin. Mm-hmm. The principle sounds good. How that actually is worked out, I don't know, because the difficulty here is everybody's saying to Dundee, you need to spend more money on your pitch. Yeah. Oh, but by the way, you owe the SPFL this, mm-hmm. you owe Sky that, mm-hmm. to take away money that otherwise could be spent on the pitch. So it's not an easy one, but I think the gist of John's point about, mm-hmm. you know, fans are always the last consideration's fair.
Yeah, I think everyone would be in agreement with John. I think he's completely right in what he's saying. I think the only thing you potentially do is the timing of the call-offs. I think, you know, some of them being so late, you know, makes it extremely difficult, because fans have already set off. I mean, if it's the night before or if it's first thing in the morning, you know, it kind of stops that side of it. You don't want fans travelling or actually arriving at the stadium to then be told, you know, the game is called off. I don't think you ever find a way where you can compensate people. As you said, Gordon, we want to keep the money within the game. We want to improve the pitches, etc., because it improves the product at the end of the day. I totally agree with what John's saying. I just think early call-offs, you know, and being transparent with what's going on. I think Clement actually said they had no idea that, you know, was it the first or the second one was in danger until their kit man was there? You know, so not even the club knew. So I think, you know, you need to be a little bit more transparent, and that can be then passed on to the supporters.
I think every full-time club in particular, you know, should have a 24-hour cut-off. Even if the weather's good the next day, it's immaterial.
Kind of what
because
we've
fans
done
have got
this
to,
time.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yesterday the decision was made.
Yeah, you've got to make it at least 24 hours to give the majority of fans the opportunity to make other plans. Not everyone, and we know, as I said before, fans can travel from all over the place to get to particularly the bigger clubs. But for me, 24 hours before it, and if the game is off and then the next day it's dry, and then listen, that's just the way it happens. You make other provisions. But I don't think that's, it would harm the game to make it 24 hours before kickoff.
We do have a game on tonight, though, John. The sun is shining. What are you thinking about the match itself?
Take care of yourself. We've actually made a hard road for ourselves. If we win, we're all a point behind Celtic. What I would say, I'll not say the word what I think of the place, but let's make it hard for ourselves. Sunday Kilters, by the way, some of them I could actually, you know what I mean, I know why I slagged my team off. Right, we could have won it, I mean, maybe that happens, but If we're going to win the league, we've got to beat Celtic. So that's the end of the day. That's the whole point.
Yeah, that like the arithmetic's changed. I think people.
And I've got to beat Dundee first. That's the bottom line, John. You've got to beat Dundee.
Stating the obvious, this was meant to be in the eyes of Rangers fans the night that
they went top of the league.
Go top of the league, and then you get into the post-split fixtures, and it's very much in your hands. And you might be able to go, and it's still in Rangers' hands, by the way. But you might be able to go to Celtic Park and draw, and that's before you even get to all the other teams, because I do feel like there's a lot of assumptions being made about both teams beating everyone. But the reaction, the Rangers fans are expecting instant reaction tonight, it seems like, Marvin.
Yeah, and they should be. As I said, you know, at the start of the show, you know, Rangers are a massive football club. And without being disrespectful, you know, their only real challenger should be Celtic. You know, I watched that game on Sunday, and it seemed, and Jim touched on it earlier, the organisation, when they had the ball, was off for me. They were far too easy to be counter-attacked. And that's just communication. You know, if you're the two centre-halves and you're speaking to the holding midfielder to stop the counter-attack nice and early, Simon Murray ran riot because it was too easy for him to get on the ball. And then all of a sudden the game turned into basketball. Yes, Rangers missed chances, but they were far too open at the back. And as I said, it wasn't like Ross County dominated the ball. It's just that Rangers lacked, for the first time, I think, under Clement, they lacked that organisation. That doesn't come from the manager. That comes from players. That comes from communication. That comes from realising, if this ball gets turned over, am I in an area to affect it? And far too many Rangers players weren't in that area to do so. The flip side of that is, it can't be all doom and gloom. Look how far they've came under this manager. You know, if you would have said to them, you're going to be in this position, you go to Dundee, if you win that game and you win the rest of your games, you win the league. Every Rangers fan would have taken that when Michael Beale left the football club. So sometimes you have to, you know, sit back and realise how far they have come. Yes, there's massive disappointment after the game on Sunday, but it's still within their hands.
Would you change the team much, John?
Would I change the team much?
Yep.
By the way, don't even get me started, because I'll tell you what, the three of them, I think it's time. The truth and honest way, everybody talks about Tavernier, Goldson and Longstrom. Their time's up, and I'm going to tell you that right now. I don't care how many goals they've scored, right? Time's up. They've been there too long, and my personal opinion, Longstrom slows the game too much. Goldson and Tav have been there too long. It's time for a change. And time for it to move on. But he's all talking about Tav scoring that penalty. Hey, many penalty kicks has he scored? I can score penalty kicks. He's got his out as a whole a few times.
Nah, you'd miss more than him, John.
No, I'll tell you right now, these three, I would actually give him a taxi. Because, hey, Longstrom, where's Raskin? Where's Raskin went to? The guy was outstanding, the boy was outstanding. How Longstrom's got a game before Lanstrom? Raskin is beyond me. I do not know. And we missed a trick at the start of the season, no signing, Shankland. But at the end of the day, we play with what we've got. And I still get confidence. All the Celtic fans, you know, we've won the league because we'll help you on a part team, no problem at all. So let's see what happens.
It's a roller coaster of emotions. He's wanting the full team out, he's driving them all away, but they're still going to beat Celtic and win. Honestly, it's that's what this title race does to you. Thanks very much to John. What would you do to the team tonight, though? Is it too early to be making those wholesale changes, or could we see some proper first team regulars missing out tonight? What do you think, Rangers fans? If you call right now, we'll try and get you on next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy and Marvin Bartley looking ahead to Dundee against Rangers. I mean, it's on. We're going in. I know we've had late surprises, but Andrew McLean, have Rangers been out? Are they having a look at it? Is everything's under control so far?
Yeah, Philip Clement and his assistant Stefan van der Heijden came out just a few moments ago, walked over to the centre circle, then over to that sort of problem area that there was in the middle of the pitch, and then over to the far penalty area where it is looking a bit bare. He was followed by Don Robertson and his assistants, who were having a look at it as well. Then interestingly, the Rangers team went out there, and straight away Abdallah Sima and Nicholas Raskin went over to that area in the middle of the park that I was talking about. And it's quite hard to tell from afar, but Nicholas Raskin sort of bent down and picked up essentially a fistful of sand, which has been, you know, that area has been covered in. But, you know, the big difference between that, what it is now and what it was before, is that, you know, it was waterlogged before. Now it is patchy, it is dry, they've got sand down there. So the ball will bounce, it will roll. So it's certainly not waterlogged, but they've had to do a bit of a patchwork job to make sure this game is on today.
Oh, sounds too dry, if anything. We've gone the other way. Let's not forget, yeah, it was unplayable. The last game that it was, deemed playable, ended up being a really good game. Five goals and didn't seem to impact things too much.
It'll be interesting, Gordon, to see whether Philip Clement, you know, he's like a lot of managers, of course, the preparation. We heard Stuart Kettlewell mention that he normally has his team all prepared for that specific game, but he couldn't do it in the Dundee game because of the pitch and the circumstances and the conditions. And you wonder if Philip Clement, for this particular game, is maybe just holding on to have a good look at the pitch to see whether he has to adapt his team or not.
Yeah, let's ask Tommy on the line what he thinks. Tommy, after Sunday, what's tonight looking like for you?
Well, I'd drop a couple of players to a start. I wouldn't have Barisic on the team and I wouldn't have Silva on the team. Guys, I'm not interested. I call Silva the diver because that's all he seems to do in matches, and you kind of have players like that when you're trying to win a title.
You think Barisic is, if that's the case, then is he, I mean, is that his time up at Rangers really? Do you think that will come into play starting tonight?
He's just running down the clock now into the leaves, probably not why he got injured. So I would start with Sterling in that position.
That's an interesting one because I don't know what conversations Borna Barisic and Philippe Clement have, obviously, but there was a time when Rangers were rotating quite a lot, and then was it the Kilmarnock game? There was a Kilmarnock game, he got taken off at half time, didn't he? Didn't do particularly well, taken off at half time, and I think for the next few games he was on the bench, unused sub, never brought on, never rotated, but then Yilmaz gets injured. And you just wonder if at that initial point it was, I don't know if it was said to Borna Barisic or if in Philippe Clement's mind it was, well, that's him sort of done here. That's him finished. Mm-hmm. We won't use him again until you need to use him again. And then his performance has been getting more criticism.
Yeah, well, that's all about man management. It's about how you manage your players in those difficult circumstances. Obviously, Marvin, be the manager now, you know that. If you leave a player out and the player thinks that his time's up and then you have to go back to that player and say, look, we need you now. You know, you're then expecting professionalism. That's the first thing. And from a player's own point of view, you know, you've set your own standards. And Barisic has, you know, been a decent player for Rangers. So I don't think it's anything to do with attitude or the fact that he found himself out of the team. Like a lot of the Rangers players, or not a lot, but a few of them, then they've been a wee bit inconsistent in recent weeks or in recent games. And Barisic is probably one of those. It's a difficult one. I mean, because he is, you know, he knows his time at Rangers is up. He will be leaving at the end of the season. So do you have that same edge and total commitment? You know, there's always that jury out on that. You know, how do you go in for a real strong challenge, or do you just keep yourself on the fringes because you know that, you know, you'll be looking for a new club come the summer?
Forgive me, Tommy, I can't remember. Did you suggest who plays in his place? Was it Sterling?
Sterling.
Is that one you can see tonight, Marvin?
Yeah, I've written the team down there, and I think Sterling will play at left back. I think he'll just change it up, just to try and freshen it up. But like Jim's saying there, Barisic, you know, as a professional footballer, regardless of the conversations you've had with the manager or lack of conversations, which it might be in this case, you know, knowing that your contract's not going to get renewed, you're still a Rangers player. They are still paying your wages. So when you go out there as a professional footballer, you have to give 100%. And I think he has been doing. Sometimes as a player, you just go through bad form. You know, but it's one of those things. But I would definitely go with Sterling today. And I've actually got Silva playing higher up. I know Tommy's saying, you know, he wouldn't actually play him. But, you know, it's either that, I suppose, or Mutondo. But I do think Sterling will go in at left back. You know, I think it's going to be a game where it's going to be a lot of physical battles because of the state of the pitch, how dry it is. You know, we heard there of Raskin picking up the sand, etc. He'll be worried about it underfoot. So Rangers have to deal with the physical side today. You know, it's going to be totally different to the Ross County game. And, you know, someone like Sterling was definitely going to improve the chances of that.
I mean, Tommy, is the view from most of the Rangers fans that Dujon Sterling needs to play somewhere tonight? You know, whether that is left back or whether it's somewhere else, that you get him in the team?
Most definitely. I think he was seen him as coming on a right good game over the last run of games there. He was quite driving forward, quite a lot, powerful, strong. You know, I think that's what you need in a team, especially if you're trying to win a title.
See, I would have him in midfield tonight alongside Lundstrom. We were speaking earlier on to Marvin. Knowing the type of player that Marvin was, I think that when Rangers have been dominating games and when they're playing at the top for them, you can get away with Lundstrom in there with two other, if you want to call it, more forward-thinking midfielders. But just in the last couple of weeks, losing the goals, I think if you get Sterling in alongside him, he gives you that athleticism. He still can get forward, but he covers the ground really well. I think he'll help Lundstrom. And then it's either Cantwell or Lawrence ahead of him. And that still gives you enough firepower to go and win games, but it gives you that wee bit added security. But also athleticism in there, and he's decent on the ball as well, you know. And he, I mean, so he's, it's not as if he's just, he's just a hammer thrower in there. He can play. So I would be, yeah, getting Sutherland in, although Marv would have him at left, but I would probably have him in midfield tonight.
The, if we were to assess it purely on results this season, it would tell you that Dundee are good. They've had a good season, but it would also tell you that they're not that well equipped at causing a shock against the big two. They've had some really sore ones. Like I say, that's just past results. That doesn't mean that's what's going to happen tonight. But do you sometimes get that in a sense, teams lower down the league than Dundee might just be more suitable at stopping the big two? Could that be a possibility?
No, if I'm honest, I don't think so. I think if you're sitting in that Rangers dressing room, regardless of what team Dundee play, we need to go and perform. And if we do perform to the best of our ability, we win the game. And that's the pressure you have to deal with, especially on the back of losing to Ross County, which, you know, the two fans have called up so far, you know, rightly said, is unacceptable. So no matter what Dundee turn up today, no matter what Dundee's tactics are, find a way to win. You are at Rangers Football Club. You are here to win titles. You are here to win trophies. If you fail to win today, as I said earlier in the show, for me, that's, you know, their kind of title surge over. That cannot happen today, Gordon. They need to find a way to win this game. Regardless of who Rangers play, they should be good enough to do so.
Yeah, I think, Gordon, you know, the points you're making in terms of Dundee structurally are not a team I think can just get 10 men behind the ball. Like Alison Johnson, for instance, who are good at that, one striker, make it tight, you know, really compact. I think the likes of Cameron, you know, McCowan, Tiffany, these kind of guys.
And to be fair, Ross County didn't do that.
Yeah,
it's
no,
not like they
Ross County, you know, again, similar, say they've got Jan Danda, Simon Murray, they've got guys who can go and express themselves. And I think that Dundee are similar. So I don't know if they're the team that can sit really deep, get, you know, 9-10 men behind the ball and make it difficult for Rangers. I think they're a team who would like to, you know, play offensive football, and that should help Rangers tonight. If Rangers play well tonight, I expect Rangers to win by a couple of goals, because I think Dundee are more open. I think they will take a little bit more of a risk because they've already guaranteed top six, and I think that will help Rangers in terms of there'll be a bit more space to play tonight.
Let's bring in Cody, who's in Maryhill. Cody, how important is tonight? Would you change the team around or keep it the same?
Hi, how you doing? I think the full defence needs changed completely, to be honest. I think in the January transfer window we need to get the next transfer window comes up. I think we need to get rid of Goldson, but I think if we get rid of Goldson, it would completely change how Tav plays. So I think we need to get rid of Tav and Barisic. He should have been gone ages ago.
Yeah, Andrew McLean hit upon something earlier. It feels like, can't guarantee it, Leon Balogun would have come in tonight, and then he's unwell. So probably are going to keep this. We're not going to see Ben Davies out of nowhere, are we? And again, then the Barisic criticism, Dejan Sterling might be able to get in there, but there's still no Yilmaz. So it does feel like Tavernier, Goldson, a lot of criticism over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, a lot, you know, and that's probably because, especially with Tavernier, kind of the standards that he has set, you know, it really does confuse me when fans talk about him coming out of the team, though. Especially, listen, if you sign someone in the summer window, January window, at this moment in time, he's playing. I think if anyone goes in and they're manager of Rangers and you're picking a team for tonight, Tavernier's in it. It's easy for us to say, oh, I wouldn't play him, but who do you play that side? We're talking about Barisic coming out as well. So, you know, if you put Stern at right back, who goes at left back? I think, as I said...
Just quickly, because I think I know the answer, there is no way, no how, that James Tavernier doesn't play tonight, despite
no chance.
Some of the stick we've heard in the last couple of days. Okay, I thought you would say
that. Yeah, zero chance. For me, as I said earlier, I think it's just about organising when Rangers are attacking. I think that would be what the manager would have said to them in the debrief. We can't afford to be this open. You know, we can't afford to almost have that kind of ignorance that we're just going to score, so we don't have to worry about the counter-attack. It's a concentration thing, not an ability thing. You know, Tavernier's always played the same way. He's always flown down the right-hand side, put crosses in, scored goals. So, you know, if that ball does get turned over, people always say it, we're going to exploit Rangers down the right-hand side. Well, that's when you get a holding midfielder to say, well, listen, if that does happen, you have to recover into that area. And as I said, it's just organising when they do have the ball.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I can go back to the last year Rangers won the championship when Tavernier was there, and I was at Morton at the time, and we looked to try and exploit the space that Tavernier would leave even back then, because he does go forward all the time. But that's when, you know, up into the last couple of weeks, Rangers defensively were very, very solid and no one was criticising Tavernier.
Yeah, Cody, is it as simple as win tonight or the title challenge is over? Are you going that far?
Well,
Aye, yeah, you definitely need to win tonight or it's over. But I think the loss, it came, if we were to lose between when we did and the end of the season, I think that's the best time to lose, because that might give the team...
Yeah, I suppose that's one way of putting it. For anyone who's watching on the live stream, Cody's use of the anatomy maybe not Dear suitable, yeah. So my apologies for anyone who is offended by the language. Hopefully we caught it in time for the radio. I must say, it's not the worst I've heard.
No.
I would say yellow card to Cody and we move on. But I do wholeheartedly apologise anyway, as I'm obliged to do. Let's bring in Graham from the Celtic side of things. Graham, what are you thinking tonight?
How you doing there, Gordon, Jim and Marvin? How you doing?
All good, all good, mate.
What it is I've been listening to the radio for the last week, mm-hmm. and all I hear is Rangers this, Rangers that. Cody's mentioned Celtic. Celtic is going to win this league, hands down. Rangers, they're going to come, they're going to get embarrassed on the 11th of May, because I know Celtic will destroy them. Celtic have got their team back, they've got their players, they've got Hatate, they will have McGregor fit and ready to go, the captain. I just think Rangers are dreaming. Rangers lost it on Sunday. I predicted the score 3-2 to Ross County, and I just kind of say there's no, I think they'll get a draw tonight at Dundee. I think Dundee will give them a game. Even though they've made the top six, Dundee, but as I've heard on your radio, it's a free shot for them. So they'll win full of confidence against Rangers. And I think Rangers, with the game they played on Sunday, I think they'll be a wee bit edgy, because the way they played on Sunday, they've got to be better. I hope not.
I wouldn't grudge you your confidence, Graham. I get it, but I wonder if it's a bit early to be quite as confident. Just, you know, Rangers, if they win tonight, it wouldn't be a huge surprise. And then it is 1 point. Look, I won't argue with you. Celtic are would be in the driving seat, because the head-to-head between the sides will be at Celtic Park and so on. But if it's 1 point tonight, I mean, that's a close title race still. Extremely close.
It's close, but... Do you reckon, honestly, does the panel reckon Rangers have got the stomach to go and lift the league after their performance on Sunday?
I'm just laughing, sorry Graham, but you came on and you said the first thing you said is everybody's talking about Rangers, and then you've spent about half your conversation talking about Rangers and no Celtic and being a Celtic fan. So
he did say they've got all their players back.
Yeah, but that was the small part of it. The rest of it was to do with Rangers and how they were performing and how they would see it. You know, if there's 1 point in it, I think when Philip Clement came in, I think there was a 7 or 8 points. I think there was a drift Rangers. So, you know, that makes it a title race. There's no doubt about it. If Rangers win tonight, it will go, you know, to that game at Celtic Park. There's no question about that. And then it's about holding your nerve and who performs on the day. We know that. But, you know, you can be bullish if you're a fan. Of course, if you've not got confidence in your own team, then, you know, then obviously that's something that you should be. But I think that Celtic have you know, played two really good halves over the last couple of games, and Rangers have played two really bad halves over the last couple of games. So that's how close that sometimes results can turn around for you. Tonight is a big game for Rangers. There's no question about that whatsoever. I think Rangers will win it tonight, and it will go to 1 point. But I just think that Celtic's strongest side, when they have everyone available, they've maybe timed it right for the run-in. They maybe just well have done that.
But what you missed is that Graham predicted the correct result
3-2,
on Sunday,
said,
and you didn't. So Graham
absolutely
says
not.
That
no
it's
chance would have said that.
Drop points tonight. We will find out. Let me run this past you first. Clyde One. £1 million make me a winner. Win your share of £1 million. Make me a winner. Now, the last time out on £1 million make me a winner, the person we rang said, "Good afternoon," which generally is a fairly inoffensive way to start a phone call, but it's very offensive if it means that you miss out on life-changing cash, which of course, is the aim of the game, and you need to say, make me a winner. You could be the winner of £100,000 tomorrow, but only if you're in the draw. So text yes to 61025. £2 to text plus your standard network rate. You can enter at clyde1.com for £2 or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate as well. It's over 18s only. All the rules for this network competition can be found online, and the entries since Maria won on Tuesday have rolled over. So if you get the call after 3pm tomorrow, this is the important bit. Answer within five rings, say, make me a winner straight away, and that's how you win £100,000.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We are edging closer to kick-off. Almost autopilot nearly took over. I was about to give it the whole 1 hour to go, but it is an 8 o'clock kick-off tonight. Look, we've waited months for this fixture, but an extra 15 minutes isn't going to harm anyone. I don't think we've got the teams yet. Usually about an hour and 15 minutes before, is it not, in the Premiership, unless I'm mistaken, but Andrew McLean doesn't quite have them yet. And I'll just keep double-checking, padding, I think they call it, to make sure we don't have them, because I want to do it as soon as we can. Oh, in fact, I think you will find we do indeed. I might be asking a lot of Andrew McLean at the drop of a hat in a split second to line it up in a formation. But let's give it a bash, Andrew McLean, because it is an interesting set of team lines.
Yeah, we do have that team news coming through to us right now. Borna Barisic drops out the starting lineup. It's Dujon Sterling that comes in for him. Looking at that midfield, Kieran Dowell is out as well. Tom Lawrence is in from the start. Kamar Roof is the big surprise in there. He gets a start out of the blue, really. You wouldn't have expected it. I'm not sure many people would have thought that he'd be in the starting lineup, but Kamar Roof comes in for Cyril Dessers. So give you that starting lineup. Jack Butland in goal, the back four, James Tavernier, Connor Goldson, John Souter, Dujon Sterling. In midfield, it's John Lundstrom, Tom Lawrence and Todd Cantwell. It's Fabio Silva on one wing, Abdallah Sima on the other, and Kemar Roof is the starting striker. The substitutes, McCrory, Dessers, Matondo, Dowell, Davies, Barisic, King, Raskin and McCausland.
Well, what do you make of that? We'll get the Dundee team in just a second, but a very interesting team, I think you'll agree. 01419511025. You don't have to agree with the right, or you know, the right decisions, but there have been big decisions made either way. Gary is in Saltcoats. Gary, looking at the time, you probably phoned in before we knew the team, but now that you've heard it, what do you make of that? Was that the right call for you?
I like the fight to Bruce starting up front, because to be honest, Roof would probably bury half the chances that Dessers has had the other weeks. But taking nothing away from Dessers, he's a hard worker and he gives a lot to the team. He's quite selfish that way, so I'm no miscalling Dessers in any way. Lundstrom, I'm even surprised with Lundstrom start. Lawrence starting. I don't think he's had a good couple of games up to today.
What jumps out for you? Kamal Roof's at the headline? Or?
Yeah, definitely. I think Marvin had mentioned that he thought that, you know, there could be a call there, but the fact is he's been, you know, really anonymous for the vast majority of the season, mostly down to injuries, which is very unfortunate for the player himself. But to get a start tonight, I'm a bit surprised. I thought he could play a part, maybe a half an hour or so. But, you know, obviously Gary's mentioned he has got a bit more composure, perhaps. But he's a different type of player. And I just, again, get up to Dense Park, if the pitch is not as good as we think, I'm not quite sure if the conditions will suit him. But listen, when he's at the top of his game, Roof is a good player. But it's just so difficult to know where his game's at, because he's played so little football.
Marvin, it's his first start since the 20th of December, and he lasted 16 minutes that day. And he's really not played a lot of football. Also, you even go back to, I think it was, you know, just the Celtic game just recently, that he was fit and available but didn't even make the match day squad. So it's a big call, but at the same time, Cyril Dessers has not really had anyone to compete with him. Silva seems to be favoured out wide. Danilo's been out injured. So was it maybe time to make that change?
Yeah, I think it's a call that had to be made. I think, you know, Roof, if he's fit, and I know it's a big if around him, obviously with the problems that he has had, is probably the best striker. Not probably, I think he is the best striker at Rangers. I think he's definitely the most natural finisher. So as Jim said there, I know he's not played a lot of minutes, and you know, you worry about how long he can last, whether it's half an hour or so. I think you start him, and whatever he can give you, he gives you. I think it's Rangers are at a point now with this game, they have to roll the dice. And it's one of those things that if it's in enough for him in training, he seems like he's fit enough to start, then you're given the opportunity to do so. You know, the team I've actually gone with is the one that I've written down earlier. And I know Gary's been surprised as well at Lawrence playing in there, but I'm not. I think they want to control that area. I think him, Cantwell, and I think Lundstrom will be a lot more disciplined today. You know, I think that's what I said the other day. I think they lack that discipline. I think Lundstrom will be a lot more disciplined in there and let Lawrence go forward and support the attacking players.
So would you have gone further, Gary, when you say you wouldn't want Tom Lawrence in? What does that mean? Dowell should have stayed in, Nicholas Raskin should have come back. What's...
I think I'm a wee bit surprised Raskin hasn't been given the opportunity he has. The wee man's been fantastic. Obviously, he picked up an injury and he struggled to get back in the team. But I think the wee man's the future. And I think rather than giving Lundstrom a big contract, you've got to give the wee man his chance, because he stood up well when we put him in Beals either.
Yeah, we're at the stage though where it looks like Philippe Clement doesn't agree. Because I get what, you know, Gary says, injured, not being able to get back in the team. That's all well and good if you've got a midfield absolutely flying and, you know, and he's on the bench. But again, he's been left out of some squads. It doesn't look like all is well there, but like that could of course change quickly.
Yeah, but they're obviously invested in Diamandé as well, and I think that's something that if you're a manager, that's somebody like Clement wanted. So he's picking his players. Raskin, exactly, Gary said, he was terrific under Michael Beale. He was one of the success stories in his regime, but unfortunately for him, he got injured just as Philippe Clement came in, and you know that's always a difficult one for a player, because he's almost having to start from scratch all the time to try and impress, and he's also trying to overtake players who are already in front of him. So he's finding it difficult. And Philippe Clement is maybe looking at him at training. Maybe he's not looking as sharp. Maybe he's not just looking quite at the level that he was under Michael Beale. And he has found it hard, and it is difficult. But I get back to it. Up until the last couple of weeks, I think most people would have been happy with Lundstrom, Diamandé and say Lawrence or Cantwell in there. It's only because the last couple of weeks at Rangers midfield has been a little bit more exposed that you know, fans are maybe coming on now and thinking, oh, get Raskin in there. A couple of weeks ago, you didn't have the same call for it.
Are you worried about tonight at all, Gary, or do you expect Rangers to bounce back?
Hopefully they've got the mentality they'll just grind out the result. But see, before the leave, Gordon, can I actually touch on my main point?
Of course you can.
So my main point was, I kind of caught the conversation between you and a previous caller regarding, I think you mentioned Barisic, Golson and Tav had to go. I would keep Tav. I agree, Barisic has ran his race. Golson, he's just know the player he was, even last season. And I think he's kind of exposing Tav to the criticism because he's no covering. You've got an asset in Tav. Just look at his goal return and his assist return. You've got to have a decent centre. I'm not saying Golson's no decent. You've got to have the right centre-half to cover the space that Tav's leaving. And I think you've just got to look back to the European Cup final. Well, it was exposed. That's when the goal came to there. And Golson, I know he's done well for the club and I respect him for that, but I think it's time to go and get somebody with pace. We need somebody, a centre-half with pace. And
it's an interesting one, Gary. I think a lot of your fellow Rangers fans might be agreeing, whether it's Tavernier's fault, Goldson's fault, maybe the combination is not working the way it used to. But we'll find out tonight. They're both in the team, and we'll find out how that one goes. Let's go back to Dens and get the Dundee starting 11 for us. Andrew McLean.
Yeah, just looking at the Dundee team that's come through at the moment, it's going to be John McCracken in goal. I think it's going to be a back four of McGee, Lamy, Shaughnessy and Dodgson, Lyle Cameron, Luke McCowan, Malachi Boateng in midfield, Scott Tiffany, Amadou Bakayoko and Silla the front line. Substitutes Carson, Astley, Main, Mulligan, Robertson, Donnelly, Mellon, Portales and Costello.
Lots to look forward to on the pitch at Dens tonight then. Those are the teams. Keep your calls coming. We've got a lot to look forward to in here as well. Let's play.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It is Beat the Pundit time. Did you hear last night's offering?
Unfortunately, I didn't. No.
It was shambolic, as is often the case. So we went to the tiebreaker, no drama there. And the question was, how many yellow cards have been dished out in the Scottish Premiership this season? Now, straight away, we knew something was wrong because Gordon DL, as quick as a flash, wrote it down and he was only about 10 out. Yeah. Suspect.
Yeah.
Then, I had something niggling in the back of my head, and then 100 people pointed out we had that tiebreaker last week. Oh, right. And the cheat and the liar sat there and tried to pass it off.
And he was still 10 out.
So we had to get the contestant back. Anyway, it will be more straightforward tonight, I hope. 0141 951 1025, lines close at 7.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy and Marvin Bartley are here under an hour to go until kickoff at Dens. It was the game we never thought would happen then. We weren't sure where it would take place. McDermott Park was on standby, but the Dundee pitch is okay, and we're building up to kickoff. We've given you the team news, some interesting inclusions and exclusions for Rangers. Kemar Roof, first start since December. He leads the line for Rangers. Borna Barisic dropped, replaced by Dujon Sterling. That would be the main headlines, you would have to say. So get your calls into us right now. And of course, it's not the only show in town. When we've got a big game of this size, this close to the end of the season, of course it is going to dominate. But if you want to talk about the title race from Celtic's perspective, you can do. What about this right back situation? Marvin Bartley and Jim Duffy are next in line, I think, to represent Scotland at right back, because Nathan Patterson, hamstring injury, Aaron Hickey's been struggling. We've got a few issues. Marvin and Marvin and Jim are just distracted because the TV's on, as it always is on Sky Sports or whatever, and it's Chelsea v Aston Villa ladies. I'm not sure loads of you were tuning in for updates, but like, the goalie's just dived and saved the ball outside the box and been sent off after 3 minutes, and it's just that's chaotic, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm just trying to actually work out what's happening. The goalkeeper's almost given an angle to get the ball back because Aston Villa are in possession. Honestly. Been turned over, and Chelsea have shot, and the goalkeeper's gone to save it and used it at hands when she's like 10 yards outside the box.
We've got enough trouble analysing our own league without dipping into the WSL. I just hope it wasn't Scotland defender Rachel Corsi who gave the ball away, because that would be possible. Yeah. But anyway, we've got enough on our plate. Let's not get too distracted. Let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, it is Beat the Pundit time. Reese is on the line. How are you, Reese?
I'm alright, Gordon, how are you doing?
Not bad. Now, Reese, it says you're from Springburn, but you're not in Springburn. Where are you?
I'm in my flat in Bushbriggs.
Alright, just along the road, that's fine.
Just along the road.
Right, I thought it was going to be somewhere more exotic, the way I had the story said to me. That's fine, don't mind that.
I go to Santa Pons on my stag do tomorrow.
Right, okay, so you're going on the stag do tomorrow. That's fine, because I must admit, I was a bit worried, because last time we had a stag do on, it didn't go well, but, and we never learn our lesson. We think we'll just go for it again. How many of you are going to Santa Ponza?
I think that's 14 years.
That's a good number.
Nice, yeah. Hopefully 14 of you come back.
Yeah, I've got to raise his spirits after he loses today as well.
Is it like all friends or is there family involved because it's a stag do?
A few of my uncles, a few mates. I just a bit of a mix.
And who's the real liabilities, the uncles or the friends?
Or Reese.
Or you?
A few of them, to be fair. I think that's what we've got in common.
Right. The boys of Springburn, they're absolutely going to be a few of them there.
Anyone on the 10 a.m. flight to Palma tomorrow, our apologies. But anyway, right, let's play, Reese. This will be a good way to kick off this stag do. Heads, it will be Marvin Bartley, and tails, it will be. Yeah, you have. You're in the heads chair.
Yeah.
So heads, Marvin Bartley, tails, Jim Duffy. Mm-hmm. This has caused a bit of debate recently.
Oh, really?
There we go, I'm holding up to the camera because I always get accused. There you are, heads, thank you, Marvin Bartley.
Good luck, Reese.
Up against Reese.
Good luck, Marvin.
Do not kick off your stag do by losing to Marvin Bartley, of all people.
Don't know the answer, just pass.
Let's give Marvin...
You let Marvin get someone.
Exactly, it's a fair point. 30 seconds on the clock, let's give Marvin something else to listen to. Reese, you've got 30 seconds, answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Magic.
Right, your time starts now. Which former Celtic player won the Bundesliga on Sunday? In what year did Dundee last beat Rangers?
Pass.
Which Scottish League One side won their first game in 5 months last night?
Oh, pass again.
What nationality is new Aberdeen manager Jimmy Tellin?
Swedish.
Name any current Hibs player who's been capped more than once for Scotland.
Josh Campbell.
Name any Scottish Premiership top six side who didn't finish top six last season.
St
St Mirren.
Okay, quite tough for them, I thought, I have to say. Let's bring Marvin Bartley back. We think quite tough tonight.
Yeah,
also long as well.
I must admit, I didn't think they were too bad tonight.
That's always me who complains.
I usually think they're tough, but tonight I thought they were okay.
They're quite long questions, so you won't get through many.
Speak quickly, hey, we will.
My best. 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Which former Celtic player won the Bundesliga on Sunday?
Frimpong.
In what year did Dundee last beat Rangers?
2006.
Which Scottish League One side won their first game in five months last night? What nationality is new Aberdeen manager Jimmy Tellin?
Swedish.
Name any current Hibs player who's been capped for Scotland more than once.
David Marshall.
Name any Scottish Premiership top six side who didn't finish top six last season.
Dundee.
How many different Scotland internationals scored for Southampton last night?
Two.
Hans Gilhouse, Billy Dodds and Charlie Nicholas for all record signings for which club?
Celtic.
Okay, Rhys, what do you think?
Just the last one.
Not very good.
Well, do you know what though? It's genuinely the luck of the draw and all that. But what chance you got? This guy manages in League One, and I know it feels like 5 months since his team last won. and a Hibs question as well. Former Hibs player. I felt like you were up against it. Let's find out. The Bundesliga winner was Jeremy Frimpong. Did you see his interview with the?
Or someone chasing the manager with the
trackside reporter. I can't remember the guy's name. He's quite a well-known German reporter. And he had like a sort of pink jacket on. And Frimpong said, I like your jacket. I like your, you're looking very handsome. He was saying, it's a bit different to the type of interviews we see here. But anyway,
everyone likes a compliment.
You both got it, which means it's 1-1. A tough question, this. Dundee last beat Rangers in 2017. Marco Harris scored a double. I don't know if you remember that. It rings a bell now. Thinking about the goal scorer.
Still
1-1. Edinburgh City were the League One side that won their first game in 5 months last night. Marvin got it, but I mean, he was bound to get that. I feel like taking that one off him, Rhys, quite frankly. But he has 2-1 up. Jimmy Tellin, I believe, is the pronunciation. Are we sticking to that?
Yeah.
He'll be Jimmy Tellin within days of
Jim.
Just Jimmy.
He's Swedish. You both got it, so you were hanging in there, but the old Hibs knowledge. You'll be kicking yourself at David Marshall, Rhys, won't you?
I got gutted with that one.
Because I thought, you know, the kind of trap that you might fall into. Paul Hanlon and Lewis Stevenson is one cap.
Yeah.
Chris Cadden's got two. And David Marshall. Yeah, on that.
I named the only Scottish player that's not got a cap.
Who did you name, Rhys?
Josh Campbell.
Josh Campbell.
I did think it was quite a rogue shout from Rhys, but you know, it was a Hibs player.
Pulled a good name out the bag.
I went blank.
And this
is the annoying thing, that he starts kind of stretching his legs a bit here, because Kilmarnock and Dundee are in the top six last season, but not this season, but not last season. And Shea Adams and Stuart Armstrong scored for Southampton, so he's in the distance now, Rhys. But he didn't get the last one. This is right up your street, your era.
Aberdeen.
Hans Gilhouse, Billy Dodds, Hillhouse, and Charlie Nicholas. All record signings. So there we go. Rhys, I don't want this to ruin your stag do too much, but Marvin, how's your flexibility?
Not good at all.
Are you sure?
Do you think you could
get your foot onto this desk?
Oh, for sure.
I want to show people on the live stream that Rhys just lost to a man.
Can you see
wearing Crocs? Wearing Crocs.
Where's the camera? Let's just take them off.
How shameful is that, Jim Duffy?
Listen, the man has got a wee bit of sartorial elegance. I think Marvin could carry off most.
What's elegant about them?
I think he could even carry off a Bundesliga pink jacket.
Yes, cheers,
that
Jim.
That man could carry that off.
I've actually got one.
We've had some low points on this show, but pundits and Crocs is a
I bet Rhys has got Crocs.
Are you taking Crocs in the stag do?
I'm a Sliders man. Sliders.
Okay.
Simon Donnelly does go for the flip flops from time to time.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, his army jacket. These are so comfy.
They're atrocious.
And like someone said earlier, they're not even in sport mode because I haven't got the backs like down.
Sport mode, Jim. Is that lost in you?
Sport mode Crocs. Is that?
So you can walk rapid. He's looking at it. You see the look.
As I mentioned, sartorial elegance is maybe not my forte, but I think Marvin can get away with most things. I think he can carry him off.
You mean to tell me that people raised in Maryhill in the '70s wouldn't wear
yeah,
Crocs?
Yeah, they'd steel toe cap Crocs. They'd steel toe cap Crocs.
Right, Rhys.
Just in case you had to kick somebody's shins down again.
Rhys, we'll be looking for a full match report of the stag do next week. Give us a call back, will you?
I go, can I give you somebody a shout out?
Of course you can. Yes.
One of my friends, Justin, obviously, you know, is a big Rangers man. So, he's really every week, to be fair, I rub him for it. But
he was too staunch to come to Santa Ponda, so I thought I would give him a wee shout out tonight.
Why not? Thank you very much.
Enjoy your stag,
Reese.
Behave.
Take care, mate.
They're not all coming back, are they?
Nah.
Not on time, anyway.
Yeah, someone's missing the flight. Someone's going to fall out and come home early. Yeah.
What did you go on your stag do, Jim Duffy?
No, well, you know I don't drink, so therefore my stag, do you know what? Was that long ago? I think it was just in the local pubs in Maryhill.
I was going to say, it's the generational thing. Yeah. The boat gets pushed out now,
certainly
doesn't it?
Wasn't a trip to Magaluf or Santa Ponsa or any of these or Ibiza or anything like that. Yeah. No, absolutely not.
Like Hugh Keevans was in the Atlantic in Kilbowie Road, I think. Do you know what I mean? Like back in the day, you wouldn't go that far afield.
You just went to
a
local pub and all your pals came.
But has there been a shift? Yeah. Again, wasted on you because you're not a drinker, but back in the day, would it have been like the night before the wedding?
It was the week before.
And then you're taking proper risks
sometimes,
then.
Yeah, a lot of times, a lot of pals and stuff like, yeah, was the night before and Hens and that as well, where could be very close to the wedding.
That's not what you want, is it?
Nah. That's someone, no show.
No. Anyway.
Just looking a wee bit bleary-eyed in the pictures.
If Reese has got anything about him, the wedding, hopefully he's not for another month. Just
give him some time to relax.
Yeah. Recuperate and pay his bail.
Anyway, enough about stag do's and so on. Although, if you want to call in about them, I'm sure Gordon DL has had a few, so I'm sure he'll be on the phones any moment now. But 01419511025, that is the number you need. Get in touch. We are building up to kick off tonight at Dens. But anything else that's out there, more than right on cue. He's fired up the Nokia. What's he saying? Yep, it's true. The Atlantis, Kilbowie Road, across from the studio.
Wow, ask him what year that was. He's listening. He can send us what year it was.
I'm really interested. 1935 or something.
That could be the next tiebreaker question.
Good. Well, we've had some bad tiebreaker questions this week, so there's every chance. Anyway, let's not worry too much about what year Hugh Keevans had. Probably wasn't even called a stag do back then.
Yeah, it was something different, wasn't it?
Let's get some managerial preview of tonight. The Philippe Clement line was quite interesting because he does expect Dundee's approach to be different for this game now that they've secured top six. He believes that clarity might give them a free ride.
They have a free ride tomorrow. That they will feel it like that also. Nothing to lose. They will go full to win this game. It's a different situation than if we would have played 1 week ago, where the pressure was on. So it's different situation, but yeah, that's Dundee's situation. My situation is that I'm focused on my team, what they need to do. But in that way, the phase of Dundee and how they approach the game will be different.
To a point, I get that. Dundee are 3 points off St Mirren, and tonight's their game in hand. Fifth place, you're talking about Europe, so I don't think that will be Tony Docherty's message.
No, but I think there's a wee bit of managerial psychology there. You know, if you can tell the Dundee players that they will go for it and, you know, expect them to go for it, then, you know, perhaps you're just trying to post a little message of positivity rather than the same. As you mentioned, Gordon, at the start, I don't think Dundee are the type of team that will just camp anyway. I think that they don't have the style of players. You mentioned their midfield, you know, they've got small, you know, dynamic, creative midfield players in there. So I just think that they'll play their normal game. But they do have three big centre-backs. They are, you know, good at, you know, that compact central area. Rangers will have to play around them and through them. I think they will be a bit more relaxed. Of course they will be. But I don't just see them, you know, going gung-ho against Rangers because as using the term that Philip Clement, a free hit, I think they'll still just play their normal game.
I think he's saying that hoping hoping they come and attack, hoping that, you know, that message gets to them, and, you know, because the more open the game is for Rangers, you know, the better for them.
Yeah, I mean, Rangers won 5-0 earlier in the season. The much maligned Sam Lammers even scored a screamer that night, so we'll see what tonight
brings. He just broke some records recently. Was it 6 games in a row or something he scored?
Yeah, I think so. Right, Greg's got a real vested interest in this fixture because he's a Rangers fan, but he's from Dundee. Take it away, Greg.
Hiya, Gordon. How's things? I'm just phoning up about Shanklin. I can't believe we never signed him at Christmas. Just for £3.5 million, what an investment that would have been. With the one Champions League, they go in the Champions League. I'm just shocked and surprised we didn't do it. I just don't know why we didn't sign him. I mean, we're going to play him out the weekend and he'll score against us. We're going to play him in the last game of the season. He could stop us from winning the league of the last game of the season. The guy is unbelievable. He's a Rangers fan. I just don't know why we never invested the money in him.
This will not go away. We're now in the 17th of April. I can't believe we didn't sign Lauren Shankland. That was the tone of the January calls. Time hasn't been a healer because had Rangers' current number nine been banging them in every single week and not passing up as many chances as he can do, had there been other players contributing, Greg might have got over it, but that's not happening. Lauren Shankland still scoring.
Yeah. I don't know what Marvin's views on it, but again, I agree with Greg in some aspects that it was a, you know, whether Rangers could have afforded the you know, 3 or 4 million, but whatever it would have taken to get him, I don't know. But they obviously signed Silva, Philip Clement. I know it's a loan deal, but hefty wages, there's no question about that. But with Danilo being long term, Roof being long term, it really only left Dessers as their out and out striker. And I agree with him to some extent. I think if they would have signed Shankland, Rangers' points differential, I think, would have, you know, or goals differential, sorry, would have been very much healthier. Even though Dessers has done okay, and I think going forward he could have got them into the Champions League, and that obviously then would be value for money. There's no question about that. But regardless of that, it didn't happen. So the current Rangers squad have to step up to the plate. They have to be able to handle the pressure and the expectation. And that's something that, you know, a lot of them are just, you know, a bit unfamiliar with and so far haven't managed to achieve that.
I think the finances have to make sense when you try and get a player in January. There's always a premium for them, especially the form that Lawrence Shankland's in, and also the, you know, the percentage of goals he's scoring for Hearts. So for them, the most important thing was finishing in third place. Yes, you know, Shankland going to Rangers strengthened their kind of title push, but it also greatly weakened Hearts in terms of getting that third place. So I actually don't think Hearts would have sold him. You know, whether there was a conversation or not, I don't think they would have sold him. I think when it gets to the summer, it's very, very different. You know, you have a lot longer to find his replacement. But, you know, Greg, I don't think that actually Hearts would have sold him to Rangers. Listen, Rangers could have done with him. Certain fans would probably say exactly the same thing as a goal scorer. We're seeing that. But I don't think Hearts would have sold him. And if I was a Hearts manager, I would have never wanted him to go.
Well, it's Kamar Roof that leads the line tonight, Greg. What do you make of that?
I'm happy with that. I mean, anything but Dessers. Dessers just, he's a no bad striker, but he's just no there. I mean, he might get one, but he'll miss five, and he looks nervous just when he's in the box. I mean, I've not seen anybody like him. I mean, I tried to phone up last week about the point, or the Celtic fans were phoning up about the Rangers-Dundee game, and Jim says that tonight you're always phoning up talking about Rangers to a boy, and I thought it was pretty funny. But I was just trying to say, why was all the Celtic fans phoning up about the Rangers? There was nothing to do with them. I mean, it's all about the Rangers. With them, it seems. I tried to phone that last week, but I couldn't get through to you, Gordon. Do you know what I mean?
That is the currency in this city and on this show. That's just the way it is. But thank you to Greg. It will be interesting. I think a lot of Rangers fans, I can see in social media, even them, you know, in a kind of self-deprecating, how long's Kamar Roof going to last? So we never know. Give him a chance. We'll see.
Hopefully for the boy himself, because there's just nothing else. He's had a torrid time. He ended his torrid.
Right, we'll do a full-time teaser and more of your calls next. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Building up to kick off at Dens Park. Looking forward to it. 35 minutes to go. Promises to be a huge night either way in the title race, so strap yourselves in, because Scottish football specialises in drama and controversy, and I'm pretty certain we'll get some of that. Before we bring in William on the line, let me treat Marvin and Jim to this.
The Full Time Teaser with Universal Interiors, approved by Trust the Trader. Kick off your home improvement in style.
Okay, interesting question this from Michael in the South Side. Thank you to Michael for sending it in. Can you name the last 5 players to score an injury time goal in the Scottish Cup final? Can you name the last 5 players to score an injury time goal in the Scottish Cup final?
David Gray.
Yes. Oh, I might have known. There he is. Any excuse to bring it up. Were you there? Were you involved?
I was there, mate. Right, okay. I was there.
Sublo.
I was watching. I was cheerleading, I was going to say.
An injury time goal.
An injury time goal in the Scottish Cup final, much like Sir, as he's known in certain parts of Edinburgh.
Rudy Scatchell.
Nope. I mean, It's tough because we're actually, I'll give you a clue.
Ali McCoist?
No, we're spanning quite a time frame here. What I would, I'm going to be really patronising and state the obvious, because David Gray's one. Mm. Think of other ones, because you know, truly memorably last minute. That's what I would kind of urge you to try, and because some, like, there are some in this list that, yeah, okay, they were late, but it didn't make too much difference, if that makes any sense.
Jim McIntyre?
Nope, but there's another one in particular that's not that long ago. It's not a lifetime ago, and it's significantly late. A famous late, wow, sort of moment. That's not helping you.
Is it pre or post me coming up there?
Oh, it's very much in your era.
Oh, okay. Come on, Jim.
Not Kyogo.
Nope. So before him,
Lee Griffiths.
That kind of era. Remember, so at that time when Celtic were, no, after that, so when Celtic were winning all those trophies, remember a really memorable, famous late one? Now I'll leave it with you. That's the one you need to try and get next, okay? William is in Port Glasgow. How are you, William?
I was doing okay until Marvin brought up about the late David Gray one and the cup final, which I was also at. So, cheers for that, Marvin.
Sorry,
just
mate.
About gotten that out of my system, but thanks for that. doing okay. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, all good in mate. Here. I mean, you've got the added tension of tonight, though, William. What are you thinking?
I'm feeling fairly confident that we can win. I don't think we're playing well enough to, you know, win 5-0 again, but I think we'll just about see it out. Whether we'll go on and win the title or not, I'm not too sure. I guess we'll see what happens. I think obviously the main point I was obviously going to make tonight was it was based off Jack Butland's press conference when he specifically mentioned about Tavernier and Goldson, the criticism they're getting, backing them, or they'll bounce back, and saying this club and these players have been written off over the years. And then you look at our trophy haul, and I love Jack Butland. I think he's been brilliant, one of the better performers. He is a leader to me. But then you kind of look at those comments and think, really, you know, Tavernier's been here for 9 years, Goldson's been here for 6 years. They've been a sort of partnership on that right side, the hand of defence, for 6 years now, and they've won, what, 3 trophies, which is the equivalent of 1 trophy every 2 years. It's not good enough. Goldson in particular, probably since last season, his form's fallen off a cliff. He's not the player he once was. He's getting older. His legs are going a little bit. He's making a lot of mistakes. Tavernier as well. I thought he was awful on Sunday, and he has been awful for a number of weeks. The likes of them too, and the likes of Lundstrom and Barisic as well, this so-called leadership group that seems to be banded about with some people at the club, a leadership group that's won a couple of trophies in 4 or 5 years, where Celtic have won, 20 or something like that. It's not great. I just think these guys, when it really comes down to the crunch, when you really need to kick on this part of the season, they've just not got it. And then when their level drops, because the other players round about them are not good enough, which is a damn indictment on recruitment, which is a separate issue, then that's what you see. Mm-hmm. And apart from the season in 2021 where we ran away with it because Celtic self-imploded, history suggests that those players can't get it done when it matters, unfortunately.
What if they do it this season though, William? Because I think most people accept Celtic are now in their favourites, whatever level of favourites they are. They've got an edge at the moment. But it's not outlandish to think that Rangers might. And I just wonder about making that call right now. I wonder if would you have that same conviction? Fast forward a couple of weeks, Rangers happen to have won the league. Are you binning Tavernier and Goldson anyway?
I would still, I personally would, because I just think that we do need a reset, regardless of what happens the rest of the season. Look, if they can go out and blaze a glory at the end of the season, and if won a league title, fantastic, great, you know, that they'll be remembered as, you know, winning the title this season when Clermont came in, we didn't really deserve to be in a conversation for the title race. We were 8-9 points behind. They'll deserve a lot of credit for that. But I think over the amount of years that they've been there, they haven't won enough, and that's the problem. I just think, you know, great Rangers teams, great Rangers players, captains, leaders, they win not one trophy every 2 years. They win 2 trophies every year, or 3. You know, they're players that win lots of titles, lots of honours, big games. I just don't think they've done it enough. So if they can win the title and go out on a high, great. But I do think this summer we need to do what we've done post 2021 and have a reset and do a proper refresh.
Yeah, listen, I understand what William's saying. Sometimes in football, as fans, though, we do, you know, we lose a game of football. 3 weeks ago, I don't think we'd be quite so, you know, ruthless in terms of players needing to go. I think, you know,
to be fair to William, mm-hmm. he is saying that he feels this is more of a big picture thing.
Yeah, I think the Tavernier one, me and Jim were kind of speaking off air about, I think it becomes so, so difficult, because I get what William's saying, and you talk about how he is defensively, but talking about offensively. So for me, you know, if you're building a Rangers team for the next couple of years, and listen, if he's still hitting those sorts of numbers, you have to find a way where he is covered when he does attack. And yes, listen, with Goldson, it's difficult because you have to be extremely aggressive in that position and extremely athletic, because at times you can get pulled into a channel area. And as a centre-half or a centre-midfielder, you rarely want to do that. So what we're seeing now is that when teams are attacking Rangers down that side, Goldson's reluctant to go out there. And that is leaving a space, and that is leaving Tavernier a little bit more exposed. But I think you have to find a way, William, to, you know, kind of fix that problem rather than taking him out of the team.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I remember talking to Derek McInnes a season or so ago regarding Adam Armstrong. Adam Armstrong in the wide area, and Derek was saying,
Daniel Armstrong.
Adam Armstrong, Southampton. So when he was talking about having playing as a wing back, because he's a winger, you know. But he said that he looked at his team, he wanted him in the team, but he wanted to give him that freedom to go forward. So Derek, as terrific as a manager is, thought, right, how do I deal with that? So I either get a right centre-back can go in that little area, so somebody athletic, or a midfield player who can cover into that area.
Right.
So he sorted the problem out by getting the balance of the team right. And exactly what Marvin's saying, I think when you've got a player like Tavernier, you have to allow his strength. His strength is going forward. It's up to the other players to adapt to that a little bit. Goldson is having a difficult time over the last couple of weeks, and even a couple of goals that Rangers lost earlier on in the season, I think he was a bit square, he was a bit static, wasn't reading the game quite enough. I don't think he's played at the level he's played at over the last couple of years, and there are maybe calls from a lot of Rangers fans to look at that area, but nothing will be done till the summer. So from now to the end of the season, from a Rangers perspective, they have to get the balance right.
I accept. I've given
including
you,
Tavernier in the team, yeah, for me.
I've given you a massive hypothetical, William, about if Rangers win the league. What's the likelihood of that for you as we sit pre-game tonight, mate? You might want to make the decision afterwards, I suppose.
Yeah, maybe. Well, I think I say post Kilmarnock, when we won that game at the end of February at Rugby Park, the belief was there, you know, to come back from that game, tough venue, and win it. I left Rugby Park that night thinking, we're going to do this, you know, because I think that was about 11 wins in a row at that point since the Celtic loss. And I'm thinking, yeah, we can do this. We got those two tough games in the February against Hearts and Kilmarnock out the way. Then there was a bit of the body blow losing to Motherwell that weekend. But then obviously beat Hibs in my next league game. But yeah, I think from how I felt after the Kilmarnock game, I think I'm probably 25% constant, a quarter constant that will win the title. I just think with missed a view opportunity, you know, you can't expect to win league titles by losing at home to Motherwell and losing 3 goals to 11th place Ross County. So, yeah, if we win tonight, maybe, but ultimately we've probably got to go to Celtic Park and get a win, and I'm just not confident we can do it.
I'm still struggling to not be offended by the tone of those Motherwell comments that keep coming. can't lose to teams like Motherwell and win the league. But anyway, no, I accept it reluctantly, William, on the line. Thank you very much for that. What about Mark, who is in Paisley? He's actually a Dundee fan, that right, Mark?
That's correct, panel. How are you all doing, guys?
Good, thank you. Good season so far, Mark. Top six is a very good reintroduction to the top flight. Can you cause an upset tonight?
I fancy it, to be honest, and that's why I was calling tonight, just to talk about that. And I certainly want to talk about Bakayoko. I think he's been absolutely fantastic for us. I'm really confident tonight against Goldson as well. He can work his pace around him. I just wanted to talk to you about that, to see what you thought about that. Can he get a move, as a question?
I mean, a few players have caught the eye, Jim. What about Amadou Bakayoko?
Yeah, I think recruitment up at Dundee has been decent. There's been a bit of controversy that, you know, people stating that, you know, they've spent the money on the players rather than the pitch. But obviously a manager doesn't get a sack for having a good pitch. He gets a sack for having poor players. Mm-hmm. So ask pretty much any manager, would you rather spend the money on your squad or your pitch? And they'll all say the squad. And Tony Docherty's absolutely right, in my opinion, to get the players in, like Bakayoko, in the squad. But I think Dundee have got a good balance. You know, they've got experience at the back with Shaughnessy and Lamy, etc. And they've got, you know, I say dynamic midfield players who can score goals. and people like Bakayoko up front, and they've got good options up there as well. So, yeah, overall, I think Tony Docherty's done a terrific job, and the likes of Bakayoko, I think with his movement, there's probably will be clubs looking at him. He's got to add more goals. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think he's got to add more goals to his game, and for any striker, yeah, you can work hard, you can be athletic, you can run the channels, you can be busy, you can make it uncomfortable, but the bottom line is you have to put the ball in the back of the net on a more regular basis, and that's something I think he has to improve upon if he's wanting to get a move to a higher level than Dundee.
It's almost like that old dream team. I've spent so long in Scottish football, they know how to recruit for it, Marvin, because arguably the two teams that have recruited best are Kilmarnock and Dundee this season, Derek McInnes and Tony Dock.
Yeah, listen, the recruitment of both clubs has been absolutely fantastic. And, you know, speaking about Dundee and Bakayoko, I think it suits him playing with two strikers. As Jim says, it probably takes a little bit of pressure off him in terms of having to score all the time, having a Scott Tiffany or whoever else, you know, alongside him, or someone playing in the number 10 position. So, you know, I think if he is to leave Dundee, Mark, I think he has to go somewhere else where they do play two strikers. I don't think playing up front by himself would really suit him. But the recruitment's been fantastic. I know they've got the tie-in with Burnley as well, so they're able to use their resources in terms of scouting, etc. So it's definitely helped them. It's been a fantastic season. And like you said earlier, Gordon, they're 3 points off St Mirren now. So that would be the next thing. You know, I think first it was to stay up. Then it was, wow, can we sneak into this top six? They've completed both of those two ticks. And now it's about catching St Mirren.
The only thing I would say, Mark, it would give me cause concern is Dundee have posted losses of £3 million for this season, and they said that they expect similar next year. A club at Dundee cannot carry that. I mean, we only need to look not that long in the past to see that, you know, that can put a club at Dundee in real financial trouble. So they have to get that side right, the balance of the finance right. It's okay having good players, and it's okay having a season like this season. But, you know, that they have to get the infrastructure correct, or they could find themselves in financial bother in the not-too-distant future.
What do you think, Mark?
Yeah, that's great. And I'm just asking what to talk about the pitch. Mm-hmm. What you guys thought about it? Do you think it's been made more of an issue than it is? And can I just ask as well, do you think it should have been put at Dundee United's pitch rather than Perth, or not, was suggested previously as well?
I don't think it can be played at Dundee United because of the lack of VAR, yeah. So that was the reason it was getting moved to Perth. Listen, it's... In terms of product for our game, looking, you know, people from the outside looking, and you don't want games called off for waterlogged pitches, especially when you've got games at a lower level going ahead. So, you know, listen, Dundee won't be happy with that. I'm sure they'll, you know, make a full investigation into what's happened, and they'll fix it for next season. You know, regardless of what it costs, what they can't happen is, you know, a little bit of rain and all of a sudden, a lot of rain and all of a sudden they're the only team that's getting called off, and you've got someone else 200 yards away and able to play their game. So, listen, it doesn't look great. Dundee won't be happy with that. But in terms of on the pitch, you know, when they do get to play, they've done extremely well, and, you know, finishing the top six is a fantastic achievement.
Do you think your team has had it a bit over the top, or the club's had it too harsh, the criticism, Mark?
I think yes and no. I think when I seen the kind of pitch on Sky, it did look a mess, to be honest. It did look like a beach with all the sand on it and stuff like that. It didn't look a great image for Scottish football, to be totally honest.
Yeah, well, hopefully we've kind of seen
the last of it.
The game is on tonight. I'm not pretending it's Wembley type surface, but it is fine, Jim.
I just asked my friend Kieran Friel, who's just got engaged. Can I just ask Marvin, just give him congratulations along with Kirsty, his future fiance? He's a big fan of yourselves, Marvin.
Congratulations, Kieran and Kirsty. Can I get an invite to the wedding, please? Me and Jim. I've got my pink velvet blazer.
Are you going to wear your Crocs?
Yeah, and my Crocs. I'll put them on.
I don't know why. I'm just cynical.
You're not coming.
It makes me think that he's not a fan of you.
No, he definitely is.
No,
me and Jim,
so.
And not you.
Just Marvin.
I think there was something in that.
No.
I think it was like a wind-up.
He sounds like a great guy, Mark.
Anyway. A Livingston legend. Wow. There's a phrase you don't hear too often. Anyway, thank you very much to Mark and his team in the background, by the sounds of it. I didn't know what company, but... There we go. Speaking of your former clubs, this might interest you. A statement tonight from Hibs about the future of manager Nick Montgomery.
Staying.
That was the radio equivalent of clickbait from me, trying to tease you.
It's a pregnant pause.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. It's not to say that he's been sacked, by the way, but it is to say that results haven't been good enough. I'll skim through it. Top six should be a minimum. Bottom six unacceptable. We've come together to try and understand. We're going to conduct a full review of the club's football structure. it'll be comprehensive evaluation, so on. We've discussed with Nick Montgomery to understand what's gone wrong. We've agreed mutually that the results have been disappointing. There is an understanding results need to improve. What is that?
Does this come from the board or from a,
yeah,
from
the board as directors? Yeah,
the board. Yeah, listen, I think that Hibs should be the top six. I don't think there's any question about that. They did invest quite heavily in players. They've had a few injuries, like a lot of teams this year. I don't think it'd have been right to sack Nick Montgomery this year. I think you need a couple of windows. Defensively, they've been all over the place. I mean, they are leaking goals left, right, and centre. I think he went for the attacking side first of all. That's all down to your own personal choice as a manager. He has to get the defensive side right for next season, or else, you know, he will find himself in trouble for his job. So I think centre backs or literally, you know, the whole back line has to be looked at, you know, first and foremost, and that will come down to recruitment. So will he get the backing from the board? You know, that will have to be, you know, we'll have to wait and see. But if they're all singing from the same hymn sheet, they have to back the manager, because if not, then, you know, they'd be better making a change now rather than waiting until halfway through next season.
Well, that's what I do wonder, Marvin. What does that mean? Because, like, obviously results need to be better next season. We're now post-split. Hibs are in with the weaker teams in the league. Does that mean that if results don't improve, like, now, between now and the end of the season, these positions under threat, or?
Yeah, it does sound that way. You know, I think for the club to release a statement, obviously come off the back of the fans, you know, and what Jim's saying there, the club expected to be top six as a minimum. Some of the wording is very similar to Aberdeen when, you know, they got rid of Barry Robson, and then Neil Warnock ended up coming in terms of a full investigation into everything. So, like you said, that is recruitment, etc. But Hibs are a top six club. You don't get that. You're not entitled to be anywhere within football, and you know, they'll be the first to admit as players and everything else that they failed in terms of that. But it does sound to me that the results have to be picked up over these next five games. Otherwise, like Jim said, there could be a change made.
Well, Hibs fans, if you've got thoughts, we would love to hear them. Very quickly, we're asking you for the last five players to score an injury time in the Scottish Cup final. Marvin got David Gray. Easy one for him. I've tried to lead them to the next most obvious one. The listeners are picking up on it. Stephen Roy's got it. Matthew.
Edward.
No.
David Turnbull.
No, think of the real
Rooney.
Invincible treble drama. The lightning was striking in the rain, and Craig Gordon was in his knees because who waltzed through and scored against Aberdeen right at the death?
I don't know.
He's Australian.
Rogic.
Martin Tom Boyle. Rogic. We've gone. It was Tom Rogic. I'm looking forward to hearing them try to get the other three, I have to say, because that's the easiest one. And we will build up to kick off at Dens next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We're on the home straight, not only at the end of tonight's show, but in the build up to the game at Dens Park. It's been a long time coming. We're only 12 minutes or so away from kick off. Let's keep the calls coming if we can. Tonight's teaser is proving to be difficult for Jim and Marvin. It's not impossible. Name the last five players to score an injury time in a Scottish Cup final. You've got David Gray. Eventually, you've got Tom Rogic. Any during the break?
We think we've got one, but it was a long time ago. Peter Lovenkrantz.
Yes. Well done.
Jim's being nice because he got that.
Honestly,
2002. That was a fairly memorable one, wasn't it? One is like
way back.
Ridiculously hard for a number of reasons, because it is way, way, way back. And
what team did he play for?
Although it was an injury time, the most famous goal in this game was still scored after that, if that makes sense.
Right.
What circumstances would allow that to be the case?
Apparently shoot at extra time.
Okay, I've got an easier clue. Forget that one, because that is way back. What about really, really recent Scottish Cup finals? That might be a good place to start. Okay, let's bring in Daniel, who's a Celtic fan. A lot of talk about the game tonight, understandably. Daniel, how does it all feel from your perspective as a Celtic fan?
Hey, good evening, panel.
Hello.
Good evening, mate.
So, my point was, it's to do with some of the complacency from both sets of fans, both saying, oh, if we just win every game, well, that's just logically, that's what would happen anyway. but I think the complacency comes from fans thinking or expecting to win every game. But both teams have got tough fixtures. We've got Hearts at home. Last time that never ended up well, and same with Kilmarnock away. So my point was, like, do you think it's justified for the fans to be this complacent going into the final fixtures of the league to think, oh, we just won every game? Because I know it's not as easy as it sounds.
Good question, because everyone's got it coming down to the meeting between the sides. Is it as simple as that?
I don't think it's complacency, but I think it's confidence. Celtic should be confident in winning these games. I don't think there's any doubt about it. Brendan Rodgers said that they come alive at this stage of the season. They know what it's about. He knows what it's about. A number of the players have been there, handled the pressure. You know, yeah, the fixtures can be tricky, they can be difficult, but at this stage of the season, Daniel, when you're going for trophies and, you know, the demands of your fans mean that you're expected to win the title, then I think Celtic, with the squad that they have and the fitness of the squad, I think you should be confident of winning these games. I'm not saying they'll be easy by any stretch of the imagination, but I do think it will come down to the Rangers game in May the 11th. And I think I would fully expect Celtic to win the other five fixtures. Yeah. I really do, or the other four fixtures. But I really do think that they'll win them after the semi-final come this weekend.
You think Celtic win at Kilmarnock and win at St Mirren and beat Hearts? Do you think Rangers go to Tynecastle and win? Do you think they all win them all, Marvin? They both win them all?
I don't. I don't, and we had this conversation. Maybe,
Jim's right. I mean, the favourites, obviously, but I just mean at some point are we going to see a slip?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, we've already seen it. Obviously, you know, Rangers are the most recent one, but Daniel said about a couple of games, you know, that Celtic played as well this season. I think there's an expectation from the fans, and rightly so. I think the problem will lie, Daniel, is if the players become complacent, and maybe that's part of what Rangers did. You know, they saw that there was a cup semi-final coming up the following weekend. They thought Ross County and Dundee would be ticked off, and they've fallen at the first hurdle. I think, you know, in terms of Celtic, though, Brendan will have those players and say, listen, like, if you don't do things right, look what happened to Rangers at the weekend. I think it was not only a magnificent result for them in terms of Rangers now falling behind, even if they win today. I think in terms of that refocusing that Celtic dressing room. But I think the fans are right to expect, you know, that both clubs spend the money that they do. They should be expecting to win those games. But I expect at least one of them to drop points between now and end of the season outside of playing each other.
Very much thanking Daniel for his contribution. We're almost out of time, so we'll hopefully catch up soon. Daniel, that was call coming in from East Kilbride. I had various other things to get around to, which inevitably we never do. Just a bit of an update then. I won't play the clip, we won't have time to debate it, but former Scotland defender Stephen Presley was speaking today. He's now Brentford's head of development, and he's sort of assuring people that Aaron Hickey's doing everything he can and could be on track to make it back for the Euros, albeit might not have a lot of game time. I think it's good news, especially in the week that Nathan Patterson tore his hamstring, we think, or certainly injured his hamstring, and lots of soul searching being done about what the right back position looks like. So I think a lot of hopes being pinned on Aaron Hickey. But we'll maybe get to that, because I want to go back to Dens Park and get a last check in there. Pitch still okay, Andrew McLean?
Yeah, the pitch still looking all right. The sun just disappearing behind the stand here as well. The Rangers fans at the top of the stand over to my left just getting the last of it, but they'll be expecting a much better performance from their side tonight. All fixtures are huge at this time of the season, but if Rangers drop points tonight like they did on Sunday, those title dreams that the supporters have really will start fading into obscurity. Philip Clement's confident he'll get a response, but he has sprung a surprise, hasn't he, with that starting lineup. Kamar Roof is in for the first time from the start since December. Just two goals all campaign in another stop-start season for him, but he's now being looked to make a big, big impact tonight. Maybe not the ideal surface for him to come into. We know the issues that the pitch has had. It is a bit patchy in places, scattered in sand as well, but it is dry, and that is the main thing. So this game will go ahead. It is a massive night here at Dens Park, and kickoff is just over 5 minutes away.
Looking forward to it. Go on then. Predictions, you two. How's that one going to end tonight? What will it mean for the title race?
I'm going 3-1 to Rangers.
Yeah, I'll go 2-0 Rangers. I think it'll be a relatively comfortable night, because, again, I just think that the edge, no matter how much Tony will ask for his players, I just think the edge, the achievement's already been made top six. The edge will just be off him a little bit.
Okay, so looking like a point then, heading in to the post-split fixtures, according to these two. We will see. Well, let's quickly round off the teaser. I told you five players to score an injury time goal in a Scottish Cup final. Tom Rogic and David Gray, Peter Lovenkrantz, all very famous ones. The other two more difficult. What about really recently?
Who's the most recent? Sean Rooney?
What about the most recent Scottish Cup final? Celtic Inverness, wasn't it?
That was one of the
problem is it wasn't like I think Celtic were 2-1 up and made it 3-1, so it's not like late it's not as memorable. Who would have scored in that team? It's not Kyogo Maeda. He's not there anymore.
Abada.
No, the other one that's not there
Jota.
Anymore. Jota. Okay. The tricky one that we said, Jim, 1991.
Gaza?
No, 91. He scored in injury time, but then a certain super sub in claret and amber went and scored after that to win the cup. You know the final
So Dundee, I was going to say Tommy Coyne, but it's Owen Coyle.
Stevie Kirk scored Stevie the winner, Kirk, but yeah. Who scored for Dundee United in injury time? 91. You know him well.
Craig Brewster?
No, but close. That very much that bracket in terms of
Gary McSwiggan.
Why are you not asking me?
Hurry up, it's too long.
I have no idea. No,
I'll just need to put you out of your misery. I think.
Yeah, Andy McClellan.
Darren Jackson.
Oh, Darren Jackson.
Oh,
I was going through them all. One. I'm going to go to Darren.
You've got to tell me tomorrow.
And Ex-Hibs playing as well. You used to get that.
Right.
I don't know who he is.
Whatever happens tonight, we look back on it tomorrow with Gordon Dale and Mark Wilson. It should be an interesting night in Dundee. We will speak to you tomorrow.